Well, good morning, Whitneyville Bible Church. Will you please stand as we open our service in praise and worship of how good it is that we have a Savior and we can praise together. Let's worship this morning.
On behalf of our whole church family, I'd like to say welcome to any of you who are visiting with us, and to all of you, just a word of welcome. I'm Pastor Jonathan DeCoux, one of the pastors here at Whitneyville Bible Church, and it's just my privilege to welcome each of you. And those of you who are watching via our live stream, we're so glad that you're tuning in with us that way too. So again, just welcome to each and every one of you. We're glad you're here. Just a couple of things I want to mention to you before we continue in worship. First of all, you'll see in the seat pocket just ahead of you what we call our Let's Connect card. And this is an opportunity for us to get to know one another just a little bit better. So if you're a first-time guest or just a returning guest, we'd love to ask you to fill that out. Put your name and your contact information on there. If you have your credit card numbers and your bank account, you can put those on there too. Just checking to see if you're awake. Some of you got that. Some of you are like, okay. Anyway, just fill that out. Let us know how you found out about Whitneyville Bible Church, how we can be a ministry to you. Those of you who are regular attenders here, members here, you can use this to communicate, address changes or other information like that, prayer requests, all that kind of thing. And then back on the tech booth, you'll see the connection card box. Just stick that in there or in the offering plate. And again, for our first-time visitors, we'd love to have you stop by the kiosk out here just outside the worship center. We have a gift bag for you. It's got a lovely gift in here and some information about our church. We'd just love to get to know you that way, too, and say thanks for coming. Just a couple of other announcements I want to share with you before we continue in worship. First of all, our children's ministry is still in need of some help. And I want to just encourage all of you to think about how you can invest in the boys and girls of our church. We have an opportunity to introduce kids to Jesus Christ, and hopefully that introduction will make an eternal difference in their lives. What a privilege it is for us to be able to do that. So would you just consider, we have enough children in our Bible Blast, so we've had to split it into two groups. So the Bible Blast for third through sixth grade, they need an additional teacher just once a month. And then Pastor Tanner is going to be moving down to the Junior Bible Blast. And if you're interested in helping with Bible Blast, the group of children that meet during our service time here during the worship service, see Deb Wisniewski. She'd be glad to chat with you. And then I just want to remind you that our ladies' Bible study on Thursday nights is continuing at 6:30 to 8:30. They're studying the book 30 Days to Understanding the Bible. And if you've already been through that book like I have, a couple of times now, it's a really excellent tool to get to know the lay of the land with the Bible, get to know what's there, and have a grow in your understanding and appreciation of the Bible as you master the Word of God like Christ has called us to do. And then I want to mention to you, Trunk or Treat. Trunk or Treat is coming up, and it's going to be Saturday, October 28th, right here at the church from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m., where we'll be having this event here in our parking lot. We're also going to be having some other games and activities for children and families to participate in. So we're still needing donations of candy. Candy, candy, candy. I guess that's the word. We need lots of candy. So if you can help with that, that would be great. I think we have all of the vehicles that we need. Is that right? Okay, so we don't really need anybody else. If somebody wanted to do that, could they still help with that? Sure. Okay, so if you wanted to do, bring your trunk over, load it up with candy, that would be great. So either see Deb or Carissa about signing up and helping with that. We could use some more help with that. And then just a reminder that during the month of October, we're trying to minister to Alpha Grand Rapids. If you don't know their ministry, Alpha provides services of a wide variety of kinds to men and women who are facing unplanned pregnancies. So some folks are trying to decide whether they should keep the baby or have an abortion, so they counsel them obviously to choose life. Some folks are facing an unplanned pregnancy with unplanned expenses and needs. Alpha provides support in so many different ways at all kinds of levels, like I said, to women and to men. And we're just grateful for their ministry. If you were here during our missions conference on that Sunday, then you had an opportunity to meet Lauren, one of the gals that works over there, and just does a great job representing Alpha Grand Rapids. And then we would encourage you to be praying for Colleen Geisel. She is the president and the director for Alpha Grand Rapids. But we are trying to bring in a truckload of diapers and wipes during this month. So would you just generously provide those for them? Do you know that the only way Alpha can share those with other people is if the body of Christ in Grand Rapids donates that to them? So they really depend on us to help. So if you can do that, that would be awesome. I think that's all the necessary announcements that I have. So what I'd like to do is read for you the call to worship passage and then go to prayer. Our call to worship comes to us from Proverbs chapter 12, verse 18. And it really introduces the theme for our message time today and also tomorrow. There is one who speaks rashly like a piercing sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Isn't that encouraging to know that people who are full of God's wisdom can bring a ministry of healing to people? Oh boy, we live in a time when people need that kind of touch through our words, don't they? Let's remember that. And then I just want to mention to you as we go to prayer that the elders are going to be hosting a membership class. For those of you who have been interested in becoming members of Whitneyville Bible Church on Saturday, November 11, we're going to go from 9 to noon. We'll have a light breakfast provided for you. It's a great time of encouragement. All the pastors are going to be there to encourage you and introduce our ministry. So if you're interested in that, you can let any one of us know or write that on the Let's Connect card and let us know about that. All right, let's go to prayer, please. So our dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for the privilege we have of being here today in your presence. You're so good to us. You're so great. You're marvelous. And we come today with glad hearts, ready to worship you and to encourage one another in you. Lord, we want to admit to you that as we look around our world today, we see all kinds of problems. We see a world torn apart by war. Our hearts are so grieved by what we've seen over the last week or so in the nation of Israel. Hamas has attacked innocent civilians and slaughtered and murdered 1,000 lives and injured many more and destroyed property and buildings. And the devastation has just been horrible. Such demonic wickedness is hard for us to comprehend. And we ask you, O God, to protect the apple of your eye, the nation of Israel, and your holy city, Zion, Jerusalem. Would you help through these terrible circumstances to work out something good and draw many, many Jewish people to faith in their Messiah, our Lord Jesus. Lord, I'm mindful of some friends who have family and acquaintances in Israel. That's their home. And they've been called up to serve in the IDF. But they're Messianic. They're Christian Jews. And now they're going to be standing shoulder to shoulder with other men and women of that nation, many, of course, who don't know Jesus. Would you use them to share hope and faith, confidence and love and joy and peace, all of these, as Christians? And would they be able to introduce many of their comrades to Christ? And would you confuse the enemy there and cause them to not be successful? And we could pray about the Ukraine. We could pray about the tensions with China. Lord, on and on it goes. It seems that all around us is trouble. But Lord, we come to you this morning in faith and trust, knowing that you are providentially in charge of all things. You're supreme and preeminent in all of it. So this is why we bring our requests to you this morning. We bring Chuck and Judy's granddaughter, Liz, before your throne of grace again. Ask you to help her to continue to be on a healing path after her C-section. Would you strengthen her and heal her not only in her body, but also in her spirit? And thank you for this precious life that you brought into their family. We pray for Glenn again as well, Lord. He's continuing to do well with these treatments that he's receiving. This slow process, but it is a positive process. And Lord, we just ask for you to bring healing to his body and also give Julie, his daughter, strength and patience as she is his caregiver each and every day. Lord, we're grateful for all the folks who call Whitneyville Bible Church their home, whether they're members or just regular attenders. But we're especially grateful this week for Kurt and Jocelyn and their beautiful family. And we pray your blessing on them and their children, Clara, Colt, and Oakley. Would you strengthen them in the knowledge of your word as they seek to raise up a family that follows hard and fast after you. Lord, we have a significant number of our church family who have lost their spouses and face this new phase of life alone. Would you please provide an opportunity for them to connect with family and friends and find encouragement in the Lord? And Lord, we pray for Colonel David Wake as he serves at the office of the Chief of Chaplains. He serves sort of as a chaplain to chaplains. And he also not only serves in the Army, but he also does works across to the other branches of the military as well. Our military personnel are facing uncertain and anxious times, and would you allow Colonel Wake to be a source of confidence in Christ, hope, and stability in Jesus? And Lord, again, we pray for Colleen Geisel and the staff and the volunteers at Alpha Grand Rapids. Would you bless them and their great work that they do to help preserve life and lead people to faith in Jesus? Thank you for the privilege we have of partnering them with them in several ways. And especially this month, would you help us to be a generous people? All of these things we pray now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. Well, that would sincerely be the prayer of our church for each and every one of you who are here today, that you would indeed behold our God, see Him high and lifted up, even in this place, in our lives and in our words and the way we treat one another, would reflect Christ. We would behold our God. If you have your Bible, I'm going to encourage you to take it and turn to Proverbs chapter 15. We're going to dismiss the boys and girls for Bible blast. You guys can scoot on out for that. Your time in the Word. We're continuing our sermon series, The Art of Living, Giving Up the Self-Life. And I told Darlene and Ashley this week that I thought I might be, not intentionally, but possibly moving from preaching to meddling this week, a little bit this week as we touch on a topic that comes very close to home for each and every one of us. I'm quite sure about that. So what I'd like to do is read Proverbs chapter 15. We're going to read all 33 verses. This is God's Word, His holy, inspired, inerrant Word. A gentle answer turns away anger, but a harsh word stirs up wrath. The tongue of the wise makes knowledge attractive, but the mouth of fools blurts out foolishness. The eyes of the Lord are everywhere, observing the wicked and the good. The tongue that heals is a tree of life, but a devious tongue breaks the spirit. A fool despises his father's discipline, but a person who accepts correction is sensible. The house of the righteous has great wealth, but trouble accompanies the income of the wicked. The lips of the wise broadcast knowledge, but not so the heart of fools. The sacrifice of the wicked is detestable to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is His delight. The Lord detests the way of the wicked, but He loves the one who pursues righteousness. Discipline is harsh for the one who leaves the path. The one who hates correction will die. Sheol and Abaddon lie open before the Lord. How much more human hearts? A mocker doesn't love one who corrects him. He will not consult the wise. A joyful heart makes a face cheerful, but a sad heart produces a broken spirit. A discerning mind seeks knowledge, but the mouth of fools feeds on foolishness. All the days of the oppressed are miserable, but a cheerful heart has a continual feast. Better a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure with turmoil. Better a meal of vegetables where there is love than a fattened ox with hatred. A hot-tempered person stirs up conflict, but one slow to anger calms strife. A slacker's way is like a thorny hedge, but the path of the upright is a highway. A wise son brings joy to his father, but a foolish man despises his mother. Foolishness brings joy to one without sense, but a person with understanding walks a straight path. Plans fail when there is no counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. A person takes joy in giving an answer and a timely word, how good that is. For the prudent, the path of life leads upward so that he may avoid going down to Sheol. The Lord tears apart the house of the proud, but he protects the widow's territory. The Lord detests the plans of the one who is evil, but pleasant words are pure. The one who profits dishonestly troubles his household, but the one who hates bribes will live. The mind of the righteous person thinks before answering, but the mouth of the wicked blurts out evil things. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. Bright eyes cheer the heart. Good news strengthens the bones. One who listens to life-giving rebukes will be at home among the wise. Anyone who ignores discipline despises himself, but whoever listens to correction acquires good sense. The fear of the Lord is what wisdom teaches, and humility comes before honor. There are 33 sermons right there. But we're going to only look at one theme in this chapter and other places throughout the book of Proverbs, and that is wise words and slips of the tongue. Let's pray for just a moment. So our dear Heavenly Father, as we come to your word today, would you give us a spirit of humility? A spirit that says, today I will learn of your word. Today I will let it change me. Today I will be informed and live according to the truths of your word, even when they prick my heart and conscience. So Lord, we open ourselves to your word and to the Holy Spirit to guide us into truth. May your servant be faithful to your word. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Words, whether spoken or written, need to be chosen with great care. I'm remembering some bulletin blurbs actually found in church bulletins. Thankfully, not ours here at Whitneyville Bible Church. These could have used some more careful attention, I think. Here's one. This being Easter Sunday, we will ask Mrs. Smith to come forward and lay an egg on the altar. Here's another one. The ladies of the church have cast off clothing of every kind, and they may be seen in the church basement on Friday afternoon. One more. This afternoon, there will be a meeting in the south and north ends of the church. Children will be baptized at both ends. John Steinbeck, that well-known American author, put it a little more seriously. I appreciate what he wrote. A writer lives in awe of words, for they can be cruel or kind, and they can change their meanings right in front of you. They pick up flavors and odors like butter in a refrigerator. And so it is with our words, written or spoken, whether they be wise words or careless slips of the tongue. Our words matter and have meaning and impact with those who must endure them. So here's the big idea of our message. It's pretty simple. You recognize it. I put it in the way that most of us recognize it from a children's song. It might find a little easier to take. Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say. Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say. You saw it in verse 7 of Proverbs 15, as we read it a few moments ago. The lips of the wise broadcast knowledge, but not so the heart of fools. And I want you to notice something about that verse. You notice in the parallel structure of the statements here that the lips of the wise are equated with the heart of fools. They're contrasted. So we'll get to the idea of what the heart and the lips have in common a little later, but I want you to let that just sit with you for just a moment right there. Probably one of the most difficult things, one of the most difficult areas for most of us to master the art of living, that is to give up the self-life, is in the area of our words. Again, whether they are spoken or written, our words convey what's in the deepest recesses of our soul. They indicate who we are and whose we are. So for today and next week, we're going to investigate how the book of Proverbs teaches us how to give up the self-life when it comes to our words. If we can learn to watch our words, we are on the way to mastering the art of living. Let's get started today by making some general observations from the book of Proverbs about the impact of our words. So to begin with, the first main point of our message is this: never underestimate the impact of our words. Never underestimate the impact of our words. This is a huge subject in the book of Proverbs. And in these 2 weeks, we are only going to touch on it. We're not going to even begin to cover all that the book of Proverbs has to say about this. But here's the first thing I want you to notice about the impact of our words. Don't ever underestimate the impact of our words. Our words either bring life or death. Our words either bring life or death. Now, as we go through these statements from Proverbs, most of them are presented in contrasts. The positive side, the negative side. The righteous person, the unrighteous person, the wicked person, the wise person, and the fool, and so forth. And I want to really emphasize the positive side of those statements, although we will be covering both. But here's this first thing I want you to think about. Our words either bring life or death. Now, you might think that that statement is a bit of an exaggeration and overstatement, but I think that you will come to agree with me as we look into what Proverbs has to say about the impact of our words. Our words can be a source of life or death for ourselves and for others. Proverbs 18, verses 20 and 21. From the fruit of a person's mouth, his stomach is satisfied. He is filled with the product of his lips. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. The writer here is saying that those who indulge in the use of the tongue must eat its fruit. A man's words have repercussions for himself. He's going to feed on the produce of his mouth and lips, his words, and their consequences. That's what verse 20 is telling us right there. In fact, in the Hebrew, it makes it pretty clear. You're going to have your fill of them, is the idea. This proverb may be positive. In other words, words, wise words are satisfying to the speaker as well as to the hearer. But in the original language, that phrase that I read where it says it is satisfied, it's a little bit ambiguous in its emphasis and meaning, sort of like when we say to be filled in English. The proverb may also suggest that the fool will get his fill of his foolish words and their consequences. Verse 21 makes the consequences of both types of expressions, positive and good or negative. It makes them both explicit. In short, the tongue has the power to bring death and life to the speaker. Those who love it, making use of it, that is, making use of their tongue, whether for good or ill, will eat its fruit. That is, they will live or die. They will either appropriate or forfeit the abundant life because of the consequence of their words. But it's also true that our words can bring life or death to those who have to listen to what we say. Yes, the greatest harm and the greatest good are in the power of the tongue. Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say. So when we say to never underestimate the impact of our words, we really mean it when we say that our words can either bring life or death. Here's another reason to never underestimate the impact of our words. Our words can either be wounding weapons or healing medicine. This really goes along with what we just said, doesn't it? This is really an extension of the first principle that we just discussed. Here's Proverbs 12:18. There is one who speaks rashly, like a piercing sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. That's quite a contrast, isn't it? That's some seriously vivid imagery. Rash words cut and pierce. It was Jean-Paul Sartre who said, words are loaded pistols. Yes, our words certainly do have that potential. Yet thoughtful words of wisdom bring health and goodness to others, so says the proverb. It's interesting. I was thinking about this earlier this week when I was preparing the message. The word of God is described as the sword of the Spirit in Ephesians chapter 6. It's It's the only offensive weapon in the armor of God that Paul lists there in Ephesians 6. Our words should not be used as a piercing sword or a loaded pistol against others. But when we wield the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, we can know that we will cut our evil enemy to the quick and edify the people of God. Thinking further about the wounding or healing potential of our words, hear Proverbs 16:24. Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the taste, and health to the body. Proverbs speaks of the soothing power and effect of our words. Honey was considered a delicacy, a very special treat in the Old Testament era. Honey was a deliciously tasty treat, and as we know, local honey has great health benefits. Gracious words are like that. They are delightful, and they cause healing to the human spirit. We should ask ourselves if our words serve more as a piercing sword or as a delicious healing delicacy and delight to those who have to listen to us. Never underestimate the impact of our words. Our words either bring life or death. Our words can either be wounding weapons or healing medicine. And our words can either be right on time or really off schedule. Proverbs 15:23. A person takes joy in giving an answer. And a timely word, how good that is. We read that just a few moments ago. It's a great joy for someone to give an answer that is appropriate to the situation and to do so in a timely manner. Obviously, according to the book of Proverbs, an apt, timely answer requires wisdom. But it also reflects the right approach to wisdom's sayings, which must be applied to the right situation at the right time. As the saying goes, timing is everything. I like the way Mark Twain put it. The difference between the right word and the almost right word is the difference between lightning and a lightning bug. Mark Twain. Yes, a thoughtful response or word spoken at just the right time is true encouragement and a blessing. Wisdom shared right here in Proverbs 15:23 encourages us to remember to match our words to the occasion. Not everything that could be said needs to be said. And not everything that could be said needs to be said now. Learn to fit your words to the occasion and to the individuals involved. Never underestimate the impact of our words. Our words either bring life or death. Our words can either be wounding weapons or healing medicine. Or our words can either be right on time or really off schedule. There's a lot more that could be said about the impact of our words positively and negatively from the book of Proverbs, this general way that I'm referring to it here. But for the remainder of our time today, I'd like us to review and ponder the particular impact of positive words. Positive words. Never forget the impact of positive words. Never forget the impact of positive words. Our words bring either verbal wealth or verbal poverty. Proverbs 10, verse 20. The tongue of the righteous is pure silver. The heart of the wicked is of little value. Now here's another interesting proverb. Notice the two words used in parallel in this verse, similarly to the way that I pointed out 15:7 uses words in parallel. It speaks of the tongue and the heart, like lips and heart back there in verse 7. Do you see that similarity? They're used in this way because they're inseparably linked. The tongue expresses what the heart cherishes. The tongue reflects what the heart indulges. Jesus said it this way, "What comes out of the mouth comes from the heart." The righteous person speaks from a pure and precious heart, while the wicked person speaks from a heart full of corruption. Good words are scarce, precious, and valuable. Precious as choice silver in comparison to those of the wicked, which are worth a mere pittance. If you want to know what's in the heart of a person, consider their words, not just in a single moment, but as a characteristic trend, as their habit. What kind of deposits are our words making in the lives of others? Verbal wealth or verbal poverty? Never forget the impact of positive words. Our words can bring either verbal wealth or poverty. And then notice, our words either nourish or starve others. Proverbs 10:21. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of sense. Here's yet another powerful and vivid contrast. The righteous person's words are nourishing and beneficial to many. The fool's words are of no benefit to them or to anyone else. They're bereft of insight or value. That phrase, fools die for lack of sense, literally could be translated, ignorant fools die for lack of a heart of wisdom, or fools for a lack of heart die. That's a serious heart condition right there. And again, we see the inseparable link between what's in the heart and what's on the lips, don't we? The nourishing, life-giving words of the righteous feed many by teaching, rebuking, encouraging, and edifying them. In contrast, fools starve to death for lack of understanding. Lacking wisdom, they cannot feed themselves, let alone others, and they do not have the good sense to go to the righteous for nourishment. Do our words nourish others, or are our conversations and comments simply dead on arrival? Our words can impact others either way. Never forget the impact of positive words. Our words either bring verbal wealth or verbal poverty. Our words either nourish or starve others. Here's another observation about the impact of positive words. Our words are either a truthful witness or false deception. Our words are either a truthful witness or false deception. Listen up. Proverbs 14:5. An honest witness does not deceive, but a dishonest witness utters lies. An honest witness simply represents the facts and the truth as they are. The goal of a truthful witness is to do just that, to speak the truth and point out what's real. Deceit can misrepresent the truth and facts in such a way as to not reveal what is true and real, but rather to hide the truth and to disguise what is real. Deception can also be brought to us as an outright lie, something that is completely false and untrue so as to misdirect and misinform others for the deceiver's gain or purposes. Our words have the capacity to either direct others toward truth and reality or deceive others toward what is false and untrue. Another proverb on this same point, Proverbs 14:25, a truthful witness rescues lives. Think of that. A truthful witness rescues lives, but one who utters lies is deceitful. Truth. The truth rescues. Truth produces justice on which the lives of people can depend. Pastor John MacArthur puts it in his commentary on this verse. You see, dear ones, lies entrap and destroy. Liars are not trustworthy. Those who speak up with and for the truth bring deliverance, reclamation, and help, while a false witness attempts to lead others to false conclusions and decisions that only bring devastation and destruction. And yet another verse on this point, Proverbs 12:17. Whoever speaks the truth declares what is right, but a false witness speaks deceit. There it is. There it is. The truth is what is right. Falsehood and deceit, what is not right. The obvious contrast here is between righteousness and unrighteousness. The one who speaks truth delivers righteousness to a conversation or a situation. But the one who speaks falsehood only delivers unrighteousness to a conversation or a situation. The God of righteousness, Jehovah, is the source of righteousness. The great deceiver, the father of lies, is the source of unrighteousness. Never forget the impact of positive words. Our words either bring verbal wealth or verbal poverty. Our words either nourish or starve others. Our words are either truthful witness or a false deception. Proverbs doesn't stop there. Positive words can impact others in other ways too. Our words either calm things down or stir things up. You saw it at the beginning of chapter 15 when we read it just a few moments ago. Proverbs 15, 1 and 2. A gentle answer turns away anger, but a harsh word stirs up wrath. The tongue of the wise makes knowledge attractive, but the mouth of fools blurts out foolishness. Wise speech is both restrained and edifying. In confrontational situations, it takes self-control to respond gently, but doing so is constructive. It turns away anger. Anger can sabotage fruitful dialogue and sour relationships and damage others. Far worse is to escalate anger with a harsh response that seeks to intentionally hurt others. There's another thing to notice there in verse 2. Wise, thoughtful speech is also edifying because it promotes knowledge, and it does so in a winsome way. Do you see that in verse 2? In contrast, unrestrained fools just vomit up their nonsense, as one commentator put it. In the process, they damage others as well as themselves. Gentle words calm a difficult situation, while harsh words only cause a difficult situation to escalate and become even worse. That calming influence is one way positive words make an impact. Never forget the impact of positive words. Our words bring either verbal wealth or verbal poverty. Our words either nourish or starve others. Our words are either truthful witness or false deception. Our words either calm things down or stir things up. Here's another observation about the impact of positive words. Our words are either a cooling shade or a crushing rock. Look at Proverbs 15:4. The tongue that heals is a tree of life, but a devious tongue breaks the spirit. Words can be soothing and even healing on an emotional, psychological, and spiritual level, like a tree of life. We've already talked about that. But life-giving, healing, fostering words never distort or deceive. On the other hand, a devious person's words crush and break the spirit like a huge rock. I fear that we've observed that very thing in our own fellowship in recent days. Such talk devastates other people's emotional, psychological, and spiritual well-being. That kind of talk destroys someone's morale. Devious talk is the opposite of encouragement. Encouragement means to add or to build up courage. Devious talk is just the opposite of encouragement. It's discouragement. It seeks to remove and to tear down and to destroy courage. What kind of person intentionally does that to someone else? The text tells us, someone with a devious tongue. Literally, it can be translated a tongue with crookedness in it. It's a description of a person who is perverse, a distorted individual. The wise person speaks sensitively, but they speak the truth nonetheless. We live in a time when people, oh, don't say that. Even if it's true, don't say that. Oh, that hurts my feelings. Sometimes the truth does hurt. Sometimes speaking the truth does hurt, sort of like surgery. I remember when I had my appendix out. I hurt really bad. It's the worst pain I've ever had in my life. And when they did the surgery, it hurt for a while after that, didn't it? But it was a good thing because they took that appendix out. That pain was good. It was good pain. So sometimes speaking the truth hurts like that. But when spoken in love and genuine concern for someone, the goal is not to deviously destroy somebody. Never forget. Never forget the impact of positive words. Our words bring either verbal wealth or verbal poverty. Our words either nourish or starve others. Our words either are a truthful witness or false deception. Our words either calm things down or stir things up. Our words are either a cooling shade or a crushing rock. And look at this. Our words are either measured wisdom or gushing folly. Proverbs 15:28, again a verse we read just a few moments ago. The mind of the righteous person thinks before answering, but the mouth of the wicked blurts out evil things. Prudent speech is a moral issue. It reflects one's character. The righteous person guards their mind and their mouth, their thoughts and their words. Before he speaks, the righteous first reflects on what he will say and how and when he will say it. He exercises self-control and a concern about the effect of his words on others. The wicked person does not guard their mind or their mouth or thoughts or their words. The wicked cares about neither, and his glib, evil words show it. The righteous person uses their words with care, measuring them for each occasion and for each person. The wicked person indiscriminately spews out, pours out, gushes out evil. I don't know who said it or wrote it, but I like this little gem of a rhyme. If your lips would keep from slips, five things observe with care. To whom you speak, of whom you speak, and how and when and where. Words to the wise. Never forget the impact of positive words. Our words are either verbal wealth or verbal poverty. Our words are going to either nourish or starve others. Our words are either a truthful witness or false deception. Our words either calm things down or stir things up. Our words are either a cooling shade or a crushing rock. Our words are either measured wisdom or gushing folly. Here's yet another impact of positive words. Our words are either like fine jewelry or dime store knockoffs. Proverbs 25, verses 11 and 12. A word spoken at the right time is like gold apples in silver settings. A wise correction to a receptive ear is like a gold ring or an ornament of gold. You know, there's that old expression, talk is cheap. It's not necessarily true. Frivolous, uninformed chatter, that's worthless. But thoughtful wisdom and correction, according to this proverb, is priceless. Notice in verse 11, it doesn't say, a word spoken is like gold apples in silver settings. That's not what it said. It reads, a word spoken at the right time is like gold apples in silver settings. It's possible to say the right thing at the wrong time or in the wrong way and not be of any value to those who listen. It's also possible to say the wrong things at the wrong time, and that is also worthless. And it's even possible to say the wrong thing at the right time and still deliver no value. So our words of encouragement or admonition can either be valuable or worthless. The wise person speaks the right words at the right time. Like the writer of Ecclesiastes said, there's a time to speak and there's a time to be silent. The wise know the difference. Words rightly timed, this proverb says, are like gold apples in silver settings. Wow. Those silver settings obviously only enhance the inherent value of those golden apples. Similarly, the inherent value of a wise word is enhanced when it is spoken at just the right time and in just the right circumstance. Discernment, notice, on the part of both the speaker and the hearer, is required to mine out that gold. Well-chosen words are beautiful and good, including words of correction and rebuke. Did you see that? Notice in verse 12, the value of wise correction to a receptive ear. The assumption here is, of course, that the words of correction are spoken at the right time and in the right way. That's valuable. Very valuable. Just for a point of reference, this week I checked the current price of gold per ounce. Gold per ounce is overvalued at over $1,900 on the market right now. That's incredible. Now don't go run out and sell your gold jewelry. That's not what I'm telling you. You can just turn it in here for the offer. But we need to always check and ask ourselves if our words have that kind of value or if our talk is cheap and not worth much more than a few pennies on the dollar. Reproof given to someone unwilling to receive it is wasted. But it is altogether different when rebuke is given to someone with a listening ear willing to receive correction. That person will find the wise reprover a valued treasure, this proverb tells us, like jewelry made of fine gold. The willingness and capacity to receive correction and reproof, or not, is a common theme in Proverbs and throughout the other wisdom literature passages of the Old Testament. Hear these words of wisdom and warning. Again, Proverbs 15, verse 5. A fool despises his father's discipline, but a person who accepts correction is sensible. Proverbs 15, 10. Discipline is harsh for the one who leaves the path. The one who hates correction will die. Proverbs 15, verses 31 and 32. One who listens to life-giving rebukes will be at home among the wise. Anyone who ignores discipline despises himself. But whoever listens to correction acquires good sense. Let me back up to verse 10 for just a moment. Discipline is harsh for the one who leaves the path. The one who hates correction will die. Rabbi Yonah on verse 10 says this, the one who hates Adonai's rebuke will find his way to death because there is no way to correct him. On the other hand, wisdom's path is smooth and easy to travel, while the road of folly is rough and filled with potholes. If we listen to correction and rebuke, certain things happen. Good, helpful, redemptive things. If we don't listen to correction and rebuke, certain other things happen. Bad, harmful, destructive, and even damning things. Never forget the impact of positive words. Finally, here's one more. Our words are either patiently gentle or impatiently harsh. Proverbs 25:15, fascinating parable to me. A ruler can be persuaded through patience, and a gentle tongue can break a bone. Someone has said that patience is a virtue. That's true, of course. But it's also true that patience is a mighty implement of influence. This proverb reminds us that patience and careful conversation form together to become powerful and an effective weapon of a kind. This proverb is really kind of counterintuitive, I think, because one would expect that the best way to deal with tough people like a ruler who is hard and rigid as a bone is to be similarly tough. Yet the best approach is patience. Wise, persistent, gentle words can break through to tough people and persuade them. The writer of Proverbs says, we've already seen a principle alluded to in Proverbs 15, 1 and 4. Bruce Waltke, in his commentary on Proverbs, says, the wise man can bring another to his way of thinking through a patient, open, and warm disposition and through sensitive, tactful speech. Here are a couple of other related proverbs. Also in Proverbs 15, you saw it in verse 15. A hot-tempered person stirs up conflict, but one slow to anger calms strife. Over page, Proverbs 16, 14. A king's fury is a messenger of death, but a wise person appeases it. Now, if you've been taking notes and filling in the blanks, you have in front of you a very impressive list of the powerful impact of positive words. If we master the art of living, these features will characterize our words, spoken or written. And if these qualities are manifest in our conversations and correspondence and social media posts, we will have a reasonable sense of confidence that we have given up the self life. So what am I going to do about it? How do we bring all of these different pieces together? What lessons can we draw from Proverbs? I have four, I think. Words matter and make an impact. Did you catch that today? Words matter and make an impact. That's really what we're saying. Here's a corollary to that. It's not just what I say, but how I say it. It's not just what I say, but how I say it. Here's an example of what I'm talking about. I want you to ask yourself if you catch the meaning behind each of these successive statements I'm going to share with you. The basic statement is this. Your hair looks nice today. All right? But do each of these statements in this series of comments that I'm going to make mean the same thing? You answer for yourself. Your hair looks nice today. 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 It's not just what I say, it's how I say it. Our words matter and make an impact. Nathaniel Hawthorne, words, so innocent and powerful as they are, standing in a dictionary, how potent. For good and evil they become in the hands of one who knows how to combine them. The exhortation for today, our words matter, so make the most of them. Here's a second lesson I'd like you to walk away with today. Our words, once spoken, let me start over. Once our words have been spoken, there's no taking them back. Once our words have been spoken, there's no taking them back. Edward Thorndike. Colors fade, temples crumble, but wise words endure. Yes, wise words endure, but so do those pesky slips of the tongue, whether merely careless or intentionally devious. Once spoken, our words cannot be taken back. Poet Sean Shane says, if only our tongues were made of glass, how much more careful we would be when we speak. There's certainly some wisdom in that statement right there. When we send off our words, we can be assured they won't come back labeled return to sender. Don't hit the send button. Either literally or figuratively, if you don't want those words out there for posterity. Here's the third lesson. Those who master their tongues are not only wise, but also a huge benefit to others. Those who master their tongues are not only wise, but also a huge benefit to others. Everything we've said today, everything we said today could be put under the umbrella of that statement. Those who master their tongue are not only wise, but also a huge benefit to others. Mastering our words is first an accomplishment of wisdom. Then our words become all the blessings that we've uncovered here today in our message. I think it's time that we all make the commitment to pursue the way of wisdom in our words so that we can benefit others. Here's a fourth lesson. Our capacity to use words well is a major indicator of whether or not we've given up the self-life. People absorbed with themselves speak and act from a very dark place within. Their universe of one is a dismal, lonely place. Their words are the proof of it. The righteous person who has renounced the self-life now and has the new life of Christ within, they speak and act from a place of light and life and hope and joy. And their words are the proof of it. The big idea, oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say. Most of us probably can't remember learning our first word, but Helen Keller recalled that event in her life with a flashing vividness. She remembered because she was deaf, mute, and blind from the age of 19 months and did not learn her first word until she was 7 years old. When Helen was six, an extraordinary teacher named Ann Mansfield Sullivan entered her life. Miss Sullivan was poor, ill, and nearly blind herself, But she possessed a tenacious vitality that was able to force her pupils' unwilling mind from the dark, silent prison in which it lived. Helen Keller would later write, "Before my teacher came to me, I lived in a world that was a non-world. I cannot hope to describe adequately that unconscious yet conscious time of nothingness. I did not know that I knew aught or that I lived or acted or desired." In his play, The Miracle Worker, William Gibson shows us what happened when Anne Sullivan first met Helen's mother, Mrs. Keller. "What will you try to teach her first?" Anne Sullivan. "First, last, and in between, language." Mrs. Keller. "Language," Anne Sullivan. "Language is to the mind more than light is to the eye." The miracle that Anne Sullivan worked was to give Helen Keller language. For only language could transform a small animal. That's how many described Helen as a little girl. Language is what alone could transform a small animal that looked like a child into a human being. Day after day, month after month, Anne Sullivan spelled words into Helen's hand. Finally, when Helen was 7 years old and working with her teacher in the presence of water, she spoke her first word. Years later, she described that moment in The Story of My Life, written in 1902. "Somehow the mystery of language was revealed to me. I knew then that W-A-T-E-R meant that wonderful, cool something that was flowing over my hand. That living word awakened my soul, gave it light, hope, joy, set it free. I left the well house eager to learn. Everything had a name, and each name gave birth to a new thought." Not only did Helen Keller learn to speak, write, and understand and master the English language, she graduated cum laude from Radcliffe College and went on to become a distinguished lecturer and writer. But perhaps the most poignant moment in her life came when, at the age of 9, she was able to say to Anne Sullivan, "I am not dumb." Never underestimate the impact of words, and never forget the impact of positive words. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, We knew it was coming. As we looked into this wonderful book, Proverbs, we knew that it would confront each and every one of us right where we are. And today and next week, as we consider our words, we're probably a bit shocked at what we've heard from your word. I stand here today and I ask myself the question, how do my words reflect that I have given up the self-life or not? Do my words do more to help or to hinder others? I have to wonder if last week's vocabulary and conversations were to earn me a paycheck, if I'd be rolling in the dough, or be bankrupt. The many metaphors and images that we've encountered in this message are striking to us, all about our words. Life versus death. Medicine versus weapons. Nourishment versus starvation, and on. So, dear Holy Father, as we wait in your presence, the Holy Spirit is speaking to each one of us about our words. And I'd like to ask each and every one of us here in the worship center and those watching via the live stream to write your words. Just right now, in this quiet moment, nobody's asking you to say anything out loud or write it down and hand it in, nothing like that. Just put in your own spirit with the Holy Spirit. Rate your words on a scale of 1 to 10. 1 being life. 10 being death. Where would you be on that scale, dear one? May today and through this week, our words be life and healing and blessing. Would you help us even now to surrender ourselves to you? To surrender our thoughts, the words, our minds, and our mouths to you, Lord Jesus. We pray in your name. Amen. Let's stand and surrender all. the voices, please. No instruments, just the voices. Sing it. So easy to sing. A lot different living those words out, huh? Proverbs 25:11, a word spoken at the right time is like gold apples and silver settings. Go make some gorgeous art with your words. Blessings.